tat
that knowledge of different sacrifices.
Vidhi.
Try to understand.
Pranipatena.
By approaching a spiritual master.
Pariprashnena.
By submissive inquiries.
Sevaya.
By the rendering of service.
Upadekshanti.
They will initiate.
You.
Jnanam.
Into knowledge.
Jnaninaha.
The self-realized.
Tattva.
Of the truth.
Darshanaha.
Seers.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following the principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmang tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must get also a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshana.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. I'm speaking on this today because this morning there will be an initiation ceremony. And so it is relevant, particularly relevant, to speak on the topics of guru and disciple. And that was standard. Srila Prabhupada, when giving initiation, his standard was either he would speak or he would have a disciple of his speak on the topic of the meaning, what it means to be a guru, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be to accept initiation. These are vast subjects, so can only be touched in a short lecture. And also Srila Prabhupada, as is stated in Hari Bhakti Vilas, at the time of initiation, it should be instructed into the meaning of the
the mantras and that are being imparted, so Srila Prabhupada would, and the offences to be avoided in chanting, so Srila Prabhupada would explain or have explained the 10 offences to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name. It's not, sometimes we hear devotees say to be avoided while chanting the holy names, whereas we avoid it even when one's not directly chanting. It's not that when you finish chanting, you can go and make all the offences. But actually, the offences, the 10 offences against the holy name, they're mostly a matter of attitude and philosophical understanding. It's not so much something that one particularly can do when chanting the holy name. Which again underlines the point of the need of hearing the teachings of Shastra in bona fide sampradaya from bona fide guru. Otherwise, one may be chanting but without proper understanding and will make offences. This purport, I think we've all read it many, many, many times, but it's always powerful, relevant, poignant, which means it speaks to us, it touches our conscience, it makes an impression on us. In many ways we can understand what Srila Prabhupada envisaged when he came to the West was highly ambitious. Ambitious in a different sense to the think and grow rich kind of people. Although in many ways the principle is the same, consciousness. By consciousness, you envisage and then you pursue the goal. Srila Prabhupada envisaged that Krishna consciousness would first in America and then elsewhere have a major impact on human society. Srila Prabhupada said that this movement will go down in history for having saved mankind in its darkest hour. So what Srila Prabhupada came to do was truly ambitious in a way that a materialist cannot begin to, well, even a materialist could understand it. The idea to start a movement based on principles that even for many Hindus would, pious Hindus, would seem to be very austere. For instance, if you say no illicit sex, the big heavy things, no meat eating, but even drinking tea, Srila Prabhupada prescribed. Generally, whenever you visit an ashram in North India, the first thing they'll say to you is, chai piyenge? Will you drink tea? They're offering you tea, and in South India, coffee. It's not a greatly sinful thing to drink tea or coffee, but it doesn't help anyone advance in Krishna consciousness. We can't offer it to Krishna. Of course, some people do, but it's not standard to do so. Some people are very intent on following whatever you eat, whatever you offer, and all this. They offer the tea to Krishna also. So it was really ambitious that Srila Prabhupada, to make disciples, to be a guru in America, where the land of individual freedom, to become a disciple means to surrender one's freedom. In India, the culture of knowing what it means to be a guru and disciple is there, albeit many times in a somewhat perverse form, but the idea that one just becomes a servant of the one is that question came yesterday, what do you expect from the Guru? Well, people expect the Guru to be a different kind of person. The whole idea of becoming normal is not become normal and then people will integrate with us better. But actually the sadhu is expected to be different. He's not interested in material things at all. And people expect the blessings. There are many misconceptions. The idea of shaktipat, that the guru will simply get some electric shock kind of treatment, and then you get all of a sudden you get infused with energy. That may be in some cases, but the general process is hearing regularly, serving as stated in this verse, submissive serving. And from the disciple's part, he should be prepared to do anything that the guru says. There's the word das, which is affixed to the disciple's name at the time of initiation, which means Hari Guru Vaishnav Das. He becomes the servant of the Supreme Lord, the Guru in particular, and the Vaishnavas in general become Das. The word Das means servant. There's no specific word for slave. Servant, slave, it's covered by both the words Das. It can mean the servant of the deity. In Orissa, it's a Brahmana surname, because it means the servant of the deity. In Bengal, it's a Shudra caste surname. There is a word for slave in modern Hindi, that is gulam, that's imported from the Arabic or Persian, from anyway, it's Urdu, it's not pure Hindi. But then you'll find people with hybrid names like Rama Gulam. So the idea to be a slave, whatever, yeah, you're prepared to follow with the faith that whatever the Guru orders, I have to do, and it's for my benefit whether I understand it or not. Of course, that is highly open to misuse. And Indian people, they tend to be overly gullible in this regard. They can be cheated easily. But on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada making disciples in the Western countries is just the opposite. They're not overly gullible, they're overly skeptical. And who are they going to accept as a guru? Who are they going to submit? They're going to submit to anyone under any circumstances. That's the culture. There may be in past times there may have been some respect for some people, but not to that extent, to bow down to someone. That's considered just something horrible. That means that you lost your own individual sense of worth. Just to bow down means that you're groveling on the floor. You lost your own dignity. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to come under fire from the verbal fire from the proponents of Swarajya, those who wanted independence of India from the control of the British. So they said that the Gaudiya Math is promoting a slave mentality. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, following the lead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a government magistrate, which people advocating independence wouldn't be very happy with that. He worked for the British to, under British rule, to try his own fellow Indians. who committed crimes. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went along with that policy also. Yeah, he explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually, he wrote something very interesting. He said that, well, in Indian culture, ancient Vedic culture, the elders, they give advice, and the younger people, they actually take charge. And because they're young and active, but they do so under the advice. So you British, you can rule the country, but you should take advice from us. That was his outlook. He said, they're like our younger brothers, and we're the elder brothers. They're young and brash, and we're old and wise. So you can rule, but you take guidance from us. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also had that policy. He cooperated with the British. Even when Pancham George, which means George the Fifth, Pancham means fifth, came to Calcutta, then the Gauriya Math also, they also, that was his jubilee, I don't know what it was, some jubilee, 25th jubilee or so. They brought out a brochure, and when they brought the governor of Bengal to Mayapur, the big sign was put up, God bless the king. So they were criticized as promoting a slave mentality, that Vivekananda had given this idea, you should be strong and robust, rise up. Because Bengalis, among Indians, they're generally thought to be somewhat, physically somewhat weedy, and use that word in America? Weedy?
No,
you don't know. It's an English word. It means having a bodily physique something like mine. Looking like a little weed growing up. And cowardly, unless they're in a group of 100 or more. So Vivekananda had this, be strong. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he promoted, of course, there's Bengalis, so you get Marathas and Punjabis, fighting people by the, and hard working. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in an age where there was much skepticism about the whole institution of guruship, skepticism coming from the newly educated in the British ways, the same background that he came from, he unabashedly took a very, imperious role as a guru, and he expected submission from his disciples. He accepted worship. He didn't have a half, he wasn't a half-baked, I'm sorry I'm a guru, but but he was quite clear, this is what is to be done, this is the proper thing to do. Srila Prabhupada also, from the external point of view, he might seem to be just very egoistic, bossing all these people around, teaching them to bow down to him, but that's the way guruship is. That's what it is. It's supposed to be a spiritual master, and the disciples are supposed to submit. And it's not only in the Vaishnava tradition, it's in every tradition. Even if you're going to learn to play sitar, you have to, whatever it is. Even famously, the mother-in-law, daughter, mother-in-law and the new wife. So the new wife just has to submit. She has no choice. Nowadays, that's something different. You have to submit. So that can be and is open to misuse, but that is the system. That one, of course, there are different kinds of gurus, and one voluntarily submits to a Vaishnava guru. There's, you may be as Srila Prabhupada was also initiated as in his childhood by the family guru, but we never even heard his name. Prabhupada just said he was initiated in his childhood, and that's all. He never spoke anything more about him. He didn't take that very seriously, obviously. He spoke of his eternal guru. I met my eternal guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, that is the culture. We have Ritvikvadis nowadays, which it's practically atheism because it goes against Shastra and it denies that link with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They say, well, we'll go through Prabhupada, but that's... We'll go directly to Prabhupada, but that makes no sense. Then you can go directly to any... which guru do you like? Have a look at the whole parampara. And you like Rupa Goswami or you like Rasikananda? And just choose which one you want and make your direct link. But it doesn't work like that. So Srila Prabhupada introduced this culture and it was shocking to many people to see an young Americans bowing down to an Indian. And Indians are inferior, right? I mean, they're a backward race. They're not Christians for a start. And they don't eat cows. How can they be fully strong and they don't eat cows? So they have all the, as Winston Churchill said, they're nasty people with a nasty religion, when he was told that they were all dying from the famine which he had organized the famine by exporting all the grains out. So he was told that thousands of people were dying. He said, let them die. Anyway, they breed like rabbits. They're a nasty people with a nasty religion. This all came out recently, declassified. And he said, and another time, the governor of Bengal wrote and said, they're starving, you have to do something. And he said, why hasn't Gandhi died yet? That was his whole response. So Srila Prabhupada is on record as saying is that Churchill was the biggest demon of the Second World War. As Churchill himself said, history will treat me kindly because I intend to write it, which he did. He wrote a history of the Second World War. Guess who came out as the good guy? He was given a Nobel Prize for that. At least in those days they didn't give Nobel Peace Prizes to people who bombed people to pieces. That's only a recent introduction. Anyway, it was seen to be horrible by many people, bowing down, but Srila Prabhupada unabashedly did it. When the mother of one of his disciples said, they worship you, in shock, she said, and affronted. They worship you. And Prabhupada said, yes. Of course they do. I worship my guru. That's the system. The fact that it was culturally not only an oddity, but it might have seemed like something just complete. The things that those savage Indians do. But Srila Prabhupada had no compunction and just, yes, this is our culture. This is what we do. Quite often I'm asked that when I arrive in an airport in the Western world, should the devotees bow down because people might think it's strange or even wrong? And I've been told by devotees that some gurus say don't do it, but I say do it. That's the culture. They have to get used to it. If we're going to establish Krishna consciousness in the Western world, we're going to have to practice it in the Western world and people get used to it. Otherwise, if we just pretend we don't exist, then how will they ever get used to it? You might remember some of the older devotees, there was a magazine which was widely printed, it was about 1980, about the Hare Krishna. It was a magazine printed by devotees for mass free distribution. I think there were more than a million copies printed.
Newspaper format.
Was that newspaper? It's full color.
Who are they?
With the idea of people see us with all these robes and dancing, and what do we do? What do we stand for? But nowadays, people might ask, where are they? Or they don't ask even, who are they? Because they have no idea who we are. Just like the Balandif people. You know about the Balandif people? You never heard of them. So it's like if we say to Hare Krishna, I don't think there are any Balandif people, because I just made up the word. So I knew you. But it's just like you say Hare Krishna. You say, what? They have no idea. So, Jnananda Maharaj, I believe it was, told me some years ago that in England, one of our devotees who's not living in the temple, Grihastha devotee, as most of them nowadays, he went to some course in England about advertising, promotion, marketing, all these things. And in the course, the instructor showed a slide of Hare Krishna people dancing in the streets. And he said, this is brilliant promotion. You see, everyone notices them. It's first class marketing. Whatever they want to market, they definitely get everyone's attention. People will never forget. So Srila Prabhupada might have been seen as quite brash in that respect, that he, of course, he didn't introduce it all at once, but fairly soon after introducing Krishna consciousness in the West, there were devotees going out with mridangas and kartals chanting Hare Krishna, shaved heads for men and saris for women, and it got noticed. Newspapers, magazines, television, radio, it became a nationwide known phenomenon, even though there were only a handful of devotees. So Srila Prabhupada did require a major change in practically everything. In dress style is one thing, hairstyle is another thing. Food, time of rising, quite a different time of rising to that which most of people were. I mean, apart from no meat, no fish, no eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no tea, no coffee, and a completely different attitude to life, one of complete submission. So, he would often use this term, as is stated here, submissiveness. Whoever, in the Western world, whoever promoted submissiveness. Submissive is what we have other people do to us. But submissive, it's a quality to be, not just a quality, but it is absolutely required if we're going to have other quality. Nowadays we hear a lot about Vaishnava qualities, which is nice to hear about. Compassion, we often hear a lot about compassion, and it's often misdirected into Mother Teresa style. Rescuing the shirt of the drowning man, that kind of compassion. And then we hear, what is that called? Empathy, non-judgmentalism. Actually, I don't think I ever heard Prabhupada say the word empathy or non-judgmentalism. But anyway, it's supposed to be, these are supposed to be good qualities. Although I don't know how you can preach and be non-judgmental. Then what other things? Mildness and all. So there's so many good qualities. But without submissiveness to a spiritual master, these qualities, they're all simply on the mental platform. Harava bhaktasya kato mahan gunav manoratena asati dhavatobhi. They're all simply on the mental platform. They're not actually good. They're good qualities, but not really good. They're not mahan gunav. They're reflections of the real good quality. The good quality of Hanuman in burning Lanka is far, or the good quality of Arjuna, who wanted to be merciful and kind and non-violent, the good quality of him killing all the enemies on the order of Krishna, is a great Vaishnava quality that he submitted to Krishna compared to his own mental speculation of trying to win a Nobel Peace Prize by stopping the fight. This submissiveness comes first. Without that, there's no meaning to be a disciple. It's just a farce. As Srila Prabhupada often used to say, one shouldn't keep a guru like a pet. That come here, go there. Many years ago, one devotee told me that he had met with some of the richest people in India who were based in Calcutta at the time. I don't think they're based in Calcutta now. All the rich people left during the communist time. So he was speaking to them, and they were saying, yes, we're also sponsoring, we're building so many temples, and then he said, well, we're preaching. And he said, yes, we also have our guru. We sent him to South India for preaching. We sent him. Okay, guru, now go and preach in South India. Here's your ticket. Go. And the businessmen, they dictate. So it's not like that. What it means, not to keep a guru as a pet or a picture on a wall, guru on the wall. Who is the heaviest of them all? There was a song sung there. There was a time when, shortly after Prabhupada left, when the idea that guru means heavy, so all the gurus were competing to see who could be the heaviest and the nastiest, and now it seems to be who's the mildest of them all, who speaks the sweetest of them all. But these are all mental concoctions. Guru is supposed to be Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Ramanyu Pashamanashrayam, absorbed in, immersed in Vedic sound, and surrendered to having taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead via the Parampara system. So it's very difficult, no doubt, for people raised in this culture of individuality, so-called individuality, that one becomes by promoting one's individualism without connection, without clear connection to Krishna, by surrendering in the parampara system, one simply becomes a puppet in the hands of Maya, and thinking I'm independent. So this surrender is required. One has to be prepared to follow. It's understanding that I don't know, I require to be guided. It doesn't mean that one wholly surrenders one's intelligence. To a large extent one does. If we want to keep our intelligence completely independent, then, which is impossible anyway, but there's some fairy tale that everyone has their own individual way of thinking. Even to think like that is influenced by other people who gave us that idea. But to a large extent, one does surrender one's intelligence also. You don't turn it off. That's very dangerous to turn it off completely. But with the understanding that I don't know what's best, therefore my intelligence needs to be guided. It is, of course, open to misuse, and we should know what the misuse is, but we should have the faith that misuse is not the norm. To think that Krishna cannot manifest himself as the spiritual master, as we, it's a very, very, very heavy statement. Acharyam mam vijaniyam. You should know the acharya to be me, Krishna says. Navamanyeta karhi chit, namartya bhudya suyeta sarvadeva mayoguru. This is the attitude for accepting a guru, which is as good as Krishna, practically Krishna. But actually, this verse directly says, you should know very well that the acharya is me. But Srila Prabhupada always translated this to be as good as God. Because that is actually the import. And if we say the guru is Krishna, then that's liable to be misunderstood how he is Krishna. Because he's one in as much as he... Kintu prabhoya priya evatas. He is sakshad. All the Shastras say he is directly Hari, Krishna. But it's to be understood how, inasmuch he's one with Krishna, inasmuch as very dear. He holds Krishna dear, and Krishna holds him dear. So in that sense. But it's a very heavy statement. And what is it? To see the Guru as good as God, the mind, especially the mind shaped by present culture, dominant culture of the world, which grew up out of, or is, this liberal humanism, which grew out of protest against the misuse of the ecclesiastic powers by the priestly class, in the Christian church. So this whole culture of individualism arose, if you look at its roots, it arose out of rejection of religious authority. And there may have been, in many ways, good grounds for rejecting the religious authority, but then no authority is also a very bad proposition, just like King Vena was a bad king. But when he was killed and there was no king, then the situation actually became worse. Instead of having one demon who was torturing the citizens, then there became many. The rogues and thieves became active. At least he kept them under control. So if we think that Krishna can no longer manifest himself, Krishna has decided no longer to manifest himself in the person of the Guru, and it's this Rigvedic philosophy, then it's atheism. We don't believe that Krishna can do this or will do this. And then everyone just fashions their own idea of Prabhupada. Then you make the Guru, you fashion him in your mind to be what you want him to be. Whereas with a Guru who's personally present, you can't do that, because he tells you what, he doesn't tell you what you like to hear, he tells you what you need to hear. As Srila Prabhupada replied, one of his disciples asked him that, why is the person Bhagavata? There's Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. So there's the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. And devotees, Sarva Bhavana. He asked Srila Prabhupada, why is the person Bhagavata considered more important than the book Bhagavata? In one sense, that is considered. Srila Prabhupada says, because he can pull your ear. The book The book, you can just read it, take it or leave it. But if there's a guru, he's supposed to... This whole idea that guru just smiles at you and is nice, it's really some invention. Must be coming from this kind of Dalai Lama, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar kind of nonsense. But it's supposed to discipline. Of course, nowadays, if you tell people what they need to hear, then they make a court case against the guru. It's quite possible. One of my godbrothers said, you had to be very careful in America, because the disciples, they can sue you. They can sue you for, anyone can sue anyone for anything. So, what we're doing is, what we're asking for is not only against the culture or seemingly horrible according to the culture, but could have legal implications also. It's such a bad culture. So it should be understood very clearly what this means. The vow that's taken. And even if we see, big talk, but we've heard of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, and who's this guy who's supposed to be a guru? We may think like that, but guru, not every guru is going to be on the level of Jiva Goswami, but if they faithfully represent, then the same result will be there. That should be accepted, that should be understood. There have been thousands of gurus in the Gauriya Sampradaya, and it's not that every one of them is writing thousands of books, and like Rasikananda is converting Muslim tyrants and taming wild elephants. Not everyone is doing that. In Bangladesh, many years ago, I came to some village where there were three disciples of one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had been in the Gauriya Math in Calcutta, came back to his village home in a remote place in Bangladesh, and were just practicing at home, and three young people, three brothers and one sister from one family, in a young age, they were all attracted to him. He initiated them, and then they started preaching, and in that village where it's actually a fishing village, where everyone is fishing. That's their caste. So there are maybe more than half the village are initiated devotees now. So that one devotee, he came home and he was living a quiet life, chanting his rounds, and he's not a famous Vaishnava guru, but disciple has to see him as good as God. That is the not only the culture, but that is required. So we have to maintain our intelligence also. Not that one should blindly accept. To a large extent, yes, unless the Guru tells us to do something really off. But otherwise, one should be prepared to do whatever the Guru says. Unless it's... Well, even yesterday I quoted that Prabhupada said to... When Hare Krishna said that he didn't want to go to Russia because there's... For preaching. Because there's only meat to eat, which actually is not a fact. There are other things. When I first went to Russia in the mid-1980s, there were other things to eat. Not much. Plenty of potatoes. But if you wanted to cook for yourself, you could buy plenty of bread also, if you please. Otherwise, there's this big, fat, almost indigestible Vietnamese rice was available, potatoes and milk products. There's plenty of milk products because they imported them all from Western Europe, so in Western Europe they could keep the price up. Yeah. So the milk and butter, there's plenty, and Vietnamese rice and potatoes. And we did, in our wanderings around Moscow, we did see one cauliflower in a shop. And it was also black looking. Oh, cabbage also, cabbage was there, yeah. So it was pretty tough. So when Srila Prabhupada said, nothing but meat to eat. And Prabhupada said, then eat meat. And he might say, tell me to eat meat. It requires faith if the guru tells you to eat meat, if necessary, for preaching. That is exceptional. That's not otherwise, normally the injunction is don't eat meat. Only in very exceptional circumstances. Generally, we should be prepared to accept. There is a checks and balance system. That is guru, sadhu, and shastra. But those who are coming newly, they don't know all these things. Therefore, one should spend time to hear and understand. Don't rush quickly into it. That may be also, that's also stated in Shastra. When is the auspicious time to accept initiation? Well, whenever you can find a pure devotee, then immediately take. That's also sometimes said. As Advaita Acharya, Madhavendra Puri came to his house, immediately took initiation. But then that's, if one has some proper idea of who is a guru. Srila Prabhupada also, when he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he knew this is my guru. He didn't formally take initiation at that time. Maybe at that time if he'd been asked to, he would have, but as circumstances had it, he didn't. At that time. So one should have some idea of who is a guru. Otherwise, one will be misled. One should be sincerely inquisitive to understand, just as Srila Prabhupada often quoted Sanatana Goswami, how he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the ideal of a disciple. He submissively approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked, Ke ami kene amai jare tapachai? Who am I and why am I suffering the threefold miseries in this material world? Iha nahi jani kemane hittohoi. I don't know all this, and I don't know how I can be benefited. So in this way, he approached. So one has to hear. There should be some period. Hear, and try to understand. And ultimately, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Krishna, if we want to be cheated, Krishna will direct us to a cheater. If we want to be benefited, Krishna will direct us to someone who can actually benefit us. So, as I said, it's a vast subject. Very important subject within the whole vast subject of Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana, knowledge of the science of Krishna consciousness. It's a very important subject, one that needs to be well understood as far as we can do, because Guru Tattva it's also achintya. It's not possible to understand by brain power. It's not possible to fully understand how a jiva who's limited can represent the unlimited. But we have to accept that is the mercy of the unlimited. That is his mercy. And that Uddhava said to Krishna that this is, you're so merciful because you manifest yourself as the guru within the heart and the guru who appears externally to give instruction. So those who are fortunate they will come to this. Those who are unfortunate, they won't. So I spoke today about American and Indian, but our philosophy begins, or the proper understanding begins with that we're not this body. But it's also important to know that we're not this mind. And we're not this mind means that all those things going on in our mind, that's not me. American, Indian, that means we have different kinds of Maya going on in our mind, or different strains of Maya going on. So all that we have heard, all that we're conditioned by, we have to set that aside. Actually, in Indian culture, that's favorable, because that culture, much of it, it gives us the right idea. Whereas in American culture, it gives us the wrong idea. So it is an advantage to be born in India. That's not my opinion. It's stated in Shastra also. So it does require extra effort by people who have been raised in a culture which advocates this total independence of thought and action. It's a great step to submit oneself, but that is required. We don't push people into initiation, we don't canvass that you should, but we teach that this is required. And when you're ready to take that step, you take it, but take it in knowledge of what you're committing yourself to, understand the ramifications, and having accepted it, one has to live according to that. And of course, we understand also that it's not just submissive to the guru and to hell with everyone else, but Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas, we're the servant of the Supreme Lord, the Guru, and the Vaishnavas, and we should be prepared to take guidance, serve under senior devotees who are all in Srila Prabhupada's mission, representing Srila Prabhupada to the newer devotees. And in this way, progress in our spiritual lives. So, Hare Krishna, we'll stop here now, and then the program will go on. We'll be continued at 10:30, is it? 10 o'clock, 10:30? Yes. All right. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.